All right, Sunday morning, 9/26/21. This is Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. We're going to look at the coming kingdom age. And we're going to start with our foundational scriptures. Matthew 7 is the first one. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. One of the first things the Lord spoke to me about was the church, the gates of hell had prevailed against the church because the church was not founded on a good foundation. So the storm prevailed against the church. All right, now go with me to chapter 16, Matthew 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, when we follow the word of God and God's word, what it says about the proper order of the church, then we'll be able to bind the devil. He will no longer be able to prevail against us. Okay, now Ephesians chapter 2. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So see, God has a divine order. There are things that, you know, they're out of order, they're never going to work right. And just about anything, any kind of piece of machinery, just think about it. Computers, whatever it is. If it's not everything in order, it's not going to work right. And that's what's happened to the church. Okay, Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what it is, but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Okay, one more, Psalms 133. We have not been operating as a body. that some of the vital parts of the body are not even joined, not even accepted. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So God's grace, when God's grace is upon the church, the anointing goes from the top down. We are a body. We move as a body. We're unified. And we take the devil out. We're going to look at how this is God's government and how it will play out the next 1,000 years. So many, even leaders, well-known leaders, prophets even, will not embrace what is coming because they have preconceived ideas of what they think the kingdom age is. This is what Jesus said. This is Luke 17:20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." This bunch, the leaders, are no different than most Christians today, always looking for signs or they won't believe. I cannot tell you how many so-called big dog church leaders with big churches on television, social media, saying, "No, it isn't the time of the tribulation." What in the heck have we been going through then? All over the world even. Like Brother Hagin used to say, they wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if he walked up with a red hat on. Traditions of men have nullified the Word of God. These preconceived doctrines that they have adapted about the book of Revelation and about the end times will prevent them. Same thing happened when Jesus came the first time. The Pharisees didn't recognize him. And they were the ones that had all the learning and the... Yeah, they were skilled in the Torah. I mean, come on, they knew it all. And they missed it. It was the simple ones that didn't know much of anything that recognized. I know God has a church behind the scenes that have heard the Master's call to fill their lamps and to usher in His time of His government being implemented in this earth free from Satan's interference. All right, Matthew 25. So they're looking for some big bang, Jesus returning and rapturing the church, or some big demonstration to know that it's the time. They're not going to get it. 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. That tells me part were awake, part weren't. That tells me that it was not some big event that everybody was awake and everybody knew. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." See, that's what they're used to doing. "Pray for me. I got to go to work. I don't have time, but can you pray for me? Well, can you come in here and hear the word and all that?" "No, I don't have time for that." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. I don't know you. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." We're not going to see it. It's in us, and we know. God's been speaking to me for several years about this kingdom age coming and others. But for the church, for the most part, they're just, well, you know, we're going to wait for the rapture. They don't see it. Hope you see it. How's God coming? How's he coming? His government will be set up in this earth, that's how. His government will be set up. That's how he's coming. See, Jesus is with the Father. Whether he comes physically or not, I hope he does. It doesn't really matter. His government will be here, and it will rule and reign. In fact, these rallies, the president, and these endorsements, he's setting up the new government. Did y'all get that? He's setting up the new government. He's handpicking. It'll be 10% of what it originally was. That's all the government we need. All right, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. What does God's order look like for the earth? Well, first, the devil's not here. Revelation 21 through 3, the devil gets that chain and gropes the devil and throws him in the pit and seals the pit for 1,000 years. All right, it will be heaven and earth. Matthew 6, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God doesn't look like that. God doesn't, just like it was in the garden. God came down at the cool of the evening to walk with his man in the garden. He didn't have any separation between his man. Heaven's going to finally rest on the earth when the new heaven and new earth is here. It's too polluted for the Holy One. New heaven, new earth. Then the earth's going to sit down. That's the way God's always meant it to be. We need to get that thinking. We're one in the Spirit. I mean, he's living in us. So if we're living here, he's living here, right? Okay. After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That ought to be something we're saying 24/7. Lord, deliver us from evil. I know it's all fake, but it sure seems real. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. How is order kept in heaven? Satan was cast out. Revelation 14. I will ascend to the Most High. I will be on the sides of the north. I will 5 times. And the Lord said, no, I'm kicking you out. Kicking you out. You're going to the pit. Right there, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. He kicked him out. Said, your end is coming to the pit. That's Revelation 20. You're going to the pit. And then over into the lake of fire. All right. Revelation 12, I just read it to you in the last teaching. Jesus came the first time, and most of the leaders of his day did not recognize the times. He wept over Jerusalem because of it. Well, it's happening again with a lot of our leaders also. God sent his only begotten Son to get our freedom back and equalize the playing field. Gave us authority in the name of Jesus and his blood to keep Satan under our feet. There will be no end of this government. Of this government, there will be no end. All right. Revelation 20, I just read part of that to you, or just quoted it to you, but we'll read the rest of it. Revelation 20, verse 3. And he cast him in the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of the prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Not to be off point, I've noticed a whole lot about flat earth coming out lately, have you? Lots. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne judgment, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And they saw the holy city coming down out of heaven. Okay. New heaven, new earth. Behold, this verse 3, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God is making all things new. Okay. New heaven and a new earth. I've been asking the Lord how all this would play out. God at this time is bringing correction to his church, cleaning the swamp, and raising up the new guard that will implement God's government, and it will be in divine order, and we will not have the devil to contend with, but people will have to go through the renewing of their mind process. We have a big job ahead of us. You could say it's like Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, all over again. They had to be weeded out. So only those that believed God and followed him would inherit all God had for them. Well, the land is also before us, and hopefully we'll be able to persuade the rest of the brethren of what time and season we are in. These false doctrines that have been infiltrated into the church have caused much damage. Hopefully when they see it doesn't play out like they've been doctrinally ingrained to believe, they'll think, maybe I was wrong. The Lord has given us one day to get it all done, and then everything will change and we will be like him. Yeah. I want to read this to you right quick. It says, can denominations change? A major question and a legitimate one that would be raised by many readers of this book is whether routinized denominations can reverse the trend and become apostolic networks. Another way of phrasing the question would relate to whether old wineskins can be reconditioned in order to hold the new wine. My understanding of the culture in New Testament times is that many old wineskins could be and were treated in a special way by soaking them in brine, rubbing in oil, and restoring their flexibility so that they could contain new wine. Of course, certain old wineskins were so cracked or decomposed that they had seen their day. Some old ones could be made useful with effort, but the wineskins of preference were the new ones being used for the first time. This is where I believe this ministry comes in. Some of today's apostolic networks are aware of this, and they strive to keep their wineskins flexible so that it will not become cracked and useless. Don Atkin describes Antioch churches and ministries in this light. John Kelly, our overseeing apostle, is a wise strategist. God has seen that Apostle Kelly is surrounded by quality people with the necessary expertise to continually work the oil of the Holy Spirit into our wineskin. This assures us that the wine or the ministry will continually dictate the shape of the ministry. Do you get that? The Holy Spirit will continually dictate the shape of that ministry, not doctrinal beliefs, not things, you know. It ain't the way it used to be, and it ain't the way it's going to be, but we have chosen to go with the flow of wine and make daily, weekly, and monthly adjustments in the wineskin. In this way, we will remain contemporary on the cutting edge of the move of God. So there's the key. Not us just moving the old guard out and then just becoming them. It's kind of like, you know, we don't want to act like the swamp lest we become the swamp. That's exactly it. Just what I have been saying, with God's help, we and others like us will usher the millennium in and get many on board with it. Hopefully, many will change their wineskin. We must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and move with Him and let religious training and the doctrines of men cause us to get off track. Lord, help us. This is what the Lord said. When my government is out of order, then the governments of the world are out of order. When my government is in order, then the government of the world will be in order. There's always order in heaven, for Satan was kicked out. It is up to my man, Adam, mankind, to keep Satan kicked out. Okay.